and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook and this is episode 410. And this week, we got a bit of three-way action for you because I am joined by Christopher White.
Hello, good to be back.
Yep, hello mate, nice to see you. We missed you last week.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back.
And also, actually, now I think about it, we also missed Adam Carroll last week.
Hi, good to be back.
How are you, mate? You all right?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good chat. Thanks, Ads.
Do you know, bits and bobs. Well, like, do you know, I'm good. Do you want to get heavy?
No, you're right. You know, it's
straight away.
We have to just get out of the way early on. It is a platitude. I appreciate and understand that. Drinking a bit of coffee there, I hope?
The usual. Don't have the thing anymore.
Oh, the cafetiere.
Yeah, I don't have that going at the moment. Just standard instant coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. It's instant coffee. It's Kenko, I think.
Wow.
It's fine. It's very fine.
I've got a bit of coffee as well.
Oh, is it just me then?
Except mine is flavored coffee.
Oh, tell me now. Is it vanilla or
it's maple fudge?
What?
Maple. Jesus, how many cups of that can you actually drink without before getting sick?
This is my second, and I'm already starting to feel like I might need to visit the bathroom.
I'm about to pass out.
Wow.
But I've got so cherry soon. Chocolate, I've got amaretto, Turkish Delight. There's a company called Beanies.
Okay.
They do it in Aldi, but Beanies.
Yeah,
I went on the website, and there's loads of it. It's gorgeous.
It's probably not.
I'm
the
not
right
really one
point
for syrupy.
To tell you that I absolutely hate it.
It's not syrupy, it's just flavoured.
Well, that's syrupy, but like. Flavoured things like that, I've never been a fan
of. Yeah, no, it's nice. Not black,
I tried
coffee.
Them. I ordered like a bulk pack off of like Amazon, and I didn't like a single one of the flavours.
Oh,
there was like
them.
There was so
Are
many.
You a coffee
ones
drinker, like, Ed?
Oh yeah, man, yeah. I've got the machine and everything, and the milk frother, and I go the whole way. But I do not like those ones. I do like a syrup. I like a caramel latte or something, but I'm not a fan of. No, sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to start.
Hey, no,
off.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
We all like what we like, don't we, man?
We do.
But
I'm
speaking
no
of things we like, I know a game we all like, all three of us have played it, but it's only a demo, which really hurts because I want this game so badly. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 demo. They did it.
Well, to us, they did. But to others, once again.
Oh, really?
Some people are kind of a bit annoyed by it. I don't think people
really?
Are. People
Why?
Don't like the kind of like, yeah, and the noises that they make, the characters and stuff when they do.
Oh, come on.
But that's what they used to do.
I can't recall. Right? I don't remember.
You know what? I'll tell you what it is. I've seen like a few people put videos out and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's no music in those videos because they're like licensing on and YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, they
you just hear the grunts.
They even said to us, look, if you want to put it on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. You can't listen to like Goldfinger on the soundtrack or Rage because we're not allowed, which is fine, which is obviously fair enough.
Yeah.
But that's if you're playing with the music on, you can't hear it.
Yeah.
So I think it's just yet again another reason, isn't it? Mm. Like just to talk about how fantastic it is and how they've managed to take that experience from 17 years ago and put it into the modern day perfectly. Like it plays just like in my head how it played back in the day. Whereas I'm sure if I went back and played it now, it wouldn't be the same because obviously consoles have improved a lot. But they've managed to get that feeling back and it's insane. Like your muscle memory, how it just kicks in all of a sudden. You're remembering
that. That's the craziest part as well. You're just like, you're playing, whoa, you're going and it's very fast. And you're just like, oh, it's all coming back now. And you start just becoming amazing.
It's insane.
Again,
it's like connecting every move with a manual. And it's just that fascination with getting a higher score and like the 2 minutes ends and you're back in, 2 minutes ends, you're back in. And this is the demo of one course for 2 minutes. There's nothing else to do other than skate. And it's obsessive, like it's addictive. So when that whole game comes out and you've got all the levels from both games, you've got all the skaters, you've got all the new skaters, you've got the soundtrack and all the new music and all the new challenges and stuff, like, feed it to me now. Like,
it's a testament to that game's just legacy because of that like 2 minute demo that comes out and we're here chatting about it right now, which is when I go look back at the time of getting the demo back in the day, 2 minutes again, I played it to absolute death, which is like, let's get out of the way here. I don't think that this, like, demo should have been a pre-order thing. I think that's just shit. Like, a point
it's,
of a demo.
It's strange that they do that. I feel like this is a game after 5. You need to get in people's hands and say, no, we got it. We got it right this time.
Yeah, I don't want people doing this kind of thing for, like, you got to, if you want to play a bit of it, you got to pre-order the digital, because it's just like, I played this through, like, a friend buying it digital and then logging the accounts, whatever. You know, that's my only, because I'm going to buy a physical. I have a pre-order good to go. But, like, I just like the demo. Just get the hype going. Get everyone excited. We could all do, the world could do with this Tony Hawk demo for 2 minutes just to play it over and over. And
well, it's funny, though, like, the two-minute thing is I started playing it and I was a bit like, maybe I'm not past it, but maybe I'm sort of beyond playing this kind of game again, and then all of a sudden it was like 30 to 40 minutes later and I was like, no, I need to stop playing this now, because I just want more. Like, I don't think I even, you know, that the specials, the supers or whatever they are, like, I don't know if they changed how high you can get or if it's just because it's on this map, but no, I managed to land one of them.
I thought exactly the same, and I sort of wrote in my like little thingy,
Now,
I can't remember if you could do this in the original game, but I certainly noticed, like, when you go into the main menu, you could look at, obviously, your stats for Tony Hawk's. But you can obviously improve it. Now, his air was on, like, not halfway, but just slightly over halfway. I'm wondering if you can shoot that off, and then you will get as high as you can.
Also, you can change what moves you do as a character. Yeah. So maybe that one is better for a... Because I could only do the one where you flip. You do, like, a somersault. And I could land that, but I never managed to land
the,
I don't know,
the 900.
It was a rotation.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, I could. I just couldn't land it. And in the end, it wasn't that I got annoyed or bored. It was like, it was one of those, it reminded me a bit of like the times, you know, when they release games, betas, and it's like, no, I need to stop if I'm enjoying this now because it's, I'm going to have to do this all. I mean, it's a bit different because, like, that's just one level.
Yeah.
And, like, even in that, did you notice, I just wondered, there was a few sections where I was like, can I get over there? And they've locked it off for the demo. So there's a section, it's hard to describe because obviously it's in 3D, but there's a section that there looks like a bit you can get outside doors.
I know what you mean.
I was going to say to the right.
Bit. It is to the right. It's to the right of the ramp when you're looking back up from where you came from. There's like a little gap where you probably get outside.
So you go down the ramp and then you turn around and look back at it to the right. Yeah, there's like a...
Yeah.
And I just wondered, can I get out there?
I reckon.
And obviously you can't now.
Possibly could, yeah. Because it's... The areas were always relatively big, but now it's like been remastered. There's no reason why they can't make them bigger and add a few bits too.
No,
but
like genuinely, I just like Adam. It's really took me by surprise there that you're saying people are complaining because I
minor complaints.
I don't know what more you could want from like if every level is done as well as this. And I mean, at the end of the day, it is the mechanics. Yeah.
People don't seem impressed by what they've seen or something. And I'm like, but
really?
Like,
well, what did they want then?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But like,
it's called Tony Hawk's 1 and 2. Like, what did they want?
I just know after playing that demo, I was like, okay. Like, knowing that it was coming, I was like, I'm definitely up for this if they put it off. Do you know
I mean? Seeing that demo and what I've seen of Crash Bandicoot, like, Activision look like they've got two potential, like, award-winning games. Yeah. Like
Like, I'm going to put in some hours into that game. I know. Same. I will. I just know.
And I thought I would never do that again.
Yeah. I
think that's what's so cool about it.
I want to give a quick mention, though, to the music side of it, right? So I don't know the new playlist at all of what's been added, right? I know.
Do you not want to know?
I don't want to know because I might know a song. And
it's some old, some new, basically.
But the beauty of Tony Hawk, anyway, for me, was like when I played the original was, not knowing half of these bands and then loving these bands, do you know what I mean?
EA used to do that quite well with their EA track sync.
Yeah, S6 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, even the stuff like that. And you'd be like, oh, that's a cool track, you know?
Yeah. So I was, as I was playing this demo, I lost my shit when I found out that they had Billy Talent on it. So they have Billy Talent, Afraid of Heights on it, which is one of my favourite songs, one of my favourite bands. And I was like, Jesus, if this game
but
was just...
Isn't that an amazing feeling, though? Do you know, we'll talk about it at some point, but before 2K had the PGA Tour games, when it was Tiger Woods' PGA Tour, I remember when Jimmy Eat World's Chase This Light came on suddenly, and I was like, you know, like hearing one of the bands you love that you would never think would be in a game like this, because they're not perhaps big enough or popular enough, and you're like, That's for me. I like them. They're a band I like.
It's how these songs make you play these games. This is a part of the game that I just really think is unreal. Like, if Billy Tennant comes on, and all of a sudden I'm just bossing the demo. Like, I'm just like, the music is just, it's just making you be good at the games you love.
It reminds you of, I mean, it always reminds me when something that happens of that opening of Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
When Paradise City kicks in and you are literally their controller, like, okay, let's do that. You know, and
what FIFA Head like Song them, 2 and stuff?
Probably not yet. Wow, well done, Chris. Wow,
not yet.
Oh, shit.
Which one?
Played not World Cup, Road to the World Cup 98.
Yeah, like I used to like love that when that started and stuff. Like, you know, it's just
And you know, you hear a song on the radio. Like, I listen to a lot of XFM, and I'll hear a song, and even my kids will go, "Oh, that's the song from Pez," or "That's the song from FIFA." And it's funny how there's one in this year's FIFA, and there's one in last year's Pez that was like quite a big radio hit, and you do associate them, don't you?
Yeah, I think like the reason why, like, obviously it's got a lot of nostalgia to it, and like there are a few games that come out that you played back way a long way back, not like a few years ago. Like Shadow of the Colossus, that wasn't like ages ago, but they remastered that. I'm talking about old games, which we're going to talk about another one, which I'd written this Tony Hawk's thing, and then I played that and I was like, oh god, maybe it's more than this. But basically the thing that makes it so good is the fact, one of the reasons is you've got all the characters from the old games, like Bob Burnquist and like Bucky Lissac and Tony Hawk,
and apparently their age Jack now. Black's in it, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, apparently he's playing the policeman. Brilliant. Which I don't. I mean, time. I mean, I wouldn't even like to. I mean, it was a PlayStation 1 game, the original, right?
Yeah. It had Spider-Man in the original, didn't it? Spider-Man, and I've got a feeling in Tony Hawk's 2 it had Darth Maul because it was around the time of the Phantom Menace.
But yeah, there's a cop or something. There's a cop in it, something, and it looks like they've data mined the demo, as people do these days, and it's Jack Black is playing that cop,
right?
And it just made me think there's gonna be a lot of that in this game. So there's two whole games. Like, there's gonna be a lot of, because there always was.
Yeah, I mean,
little secrets.
Like the time it came out, I assume most of us were around the same age, but it was when pop punk was big.
Oh yeah, Avril Lavigne.
And punk and like bands like Lagwagoner and Tony Hawk's 2 and that kind of, and Goldfinger. It was a time of like Jackass. Yeah, Mill and Colin. It was a time of like around Jackass and American Pie.
Isn't there an Ash song
in
one of them?
I don't know. I don't know if it's in the first two.
I think it's probably because you said Goldfinger. I'm thinking of Ash now.
But like the second game, I played much more of than the first. But like that soundtrack, just like Blood Brothers. I remember just like the image of playing the school level and listening to Blood Brothers, because that was the first song that kind of came on every time we started it, and like Bad Religion and Rage, which is in the demo, like fucking Guerrilla Radio, which is an incredible song. Like, it's just, it makes me feel better that they're older in it as well. Like, because I feel old, like trying to enjoy a skateboarding game, but it kind of, it makes you feel good that these guys are still doing it in their 40s, and Tony Hawk's 52. Because like we were trying to find out the other day, like, just because he's still doing this kind of shit and he's 52. That's insane.
Fair play.
But like, just on a slight offshoot of this, the documentary that there's a review up on the site called Pretending I'm a Superman, which is a demo. Which is a documentary about the first, like the Tony Hawk series. You need to watch it. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's so amazing how, like, when you think back how the games impacted the world and the video game medium and skateboarding and all these different aspects of entertainment, like, it was massive, and it's still like one of the best sports series of all time. And it's just fascinating hearing like little stories about it and little anecdotes from Tony Hawk and everyone else. Like, it was almost a Rockstar game. It was almost a Nintendo game. And then Neversoft asked Tony Hawk to come, or Activision asked Tony Hawk to come down. And they had like a big board meeting, and everyone was in suits and sat around this table. And Tony Hawk walks in his cargo pants and sits down, and they start showing him all these PowerPoint presentations of like figures and what could be achieved by releasing it now, and all this demographic shit. And he kind of went, "No, I'm good, thanks. I'll pass." And then Neversoft were like, "Well, just play the demo." And he sat down, played the demo, and he was like, "This is the game I want my name to be on. Like, this is exactly how I imagine it."
Yeah.
Like, he wants it to be arcadey, but he wants it to be real, and he wants it to feel like a proper skateboarding game, and like that's kind of where it happened. And there's loads of that stuff in the documentary, but like, just the fact that this game's back, it's just amazing. Because it's such a good game.
I just want to add to that as well, is that, like, look, there's been, like, so many, like, great games already this year that we've played. But, like, I've loved it all. And then it's like, we're all in the funk of games now where it's like, we can't take our mind off of everything else. We can't just solely focus ourselves into a game right now. We can't get lost in it because of other shit outside of games.
Yeah.
That what this year has just done. When I played Tony Hawk Demo, I was like, oh my God. Like, I just wasn't thinking yeah. about anything else but what this game has done for me back in the day. See, and stuff. So
yeah.
I'm so up
for it. I think that I want more of this kind of game.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about it another week, but like I've been playing Risk of Rain and you know, Deep Rock Galactic, and games that can take your time, you know, like you could play Tony Hawk's for hours, but you're not invested in them in the way you would be in, like, and this is not me doing it a disservice because we all know how much I love God of War, but a God of War or an Uncharted or a Last of Us, you know, I think at the moment I want those games. I want Rogue Legacy 2s, I want the Spelunkies, mm-hmm. I want the arcade,
yeah, just the,
I guess, yeah. the arcade yeah, games.
I think a lot of people are that boat as well, man.
And I don't know why or when that happened, and I still like the other kinds of games. But like, you know, this segs nicely in. Let's talk about it. Battletoads, Chris. I've played about an hour, I think, of it.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it's because I expected nothing, or I don't know if it's because Streets of Rage 4 showed me that these games still work for me.
Yeah,
it's way better than this game has any right to be.
I wasn't hyped for it at all.
Like, I didn't expect anything.
I played some of it when I was younger. I played the Rare Replay and went to the Turbo Tunnel Not particularly, because
they were balls hard, but they weren't hard in like a Super Meat Boy I'm learning way.
I think it was more that particular level was hard, and then it's become this bigger than legend that the whole game was really hard, and then like it just got forgotten about. But let's talk about this one. Everything about this game is phenomenal. Like, it's an incredible, like, beat 'em up. Side scrolling is excellent. The variety in the combat and the look of it is gorgeous. It's colourful. It's fun. And then you've got the writing and the comedy elements. Like, it's genuinely a funny game. Like, there's no, like, oh, it's video game funny. It's like funny. Like, it reminds me a lot of like Teen Titans Go. And stuff like that. Amazing World of Gumball and all that kind of show where the jokes are so layered that it can be funny to a kid and it can be funny to you. And this, it goes meta all the time. Like when there's
I thought it was quite interesting that they basically quite early on in the game say, hey, we know nobody cares about Battletoads. But it's because it is obviously Rare involved, but it's Dilala
game. Yeah,
the actual studio that developed the game. So it is weird them saying nobody cares about Battletoads when it's not even their IP. It just he said layers. It's weird.
But I'd like to know who would have played that back in the day and like, because like from Dilala, because it's just the way they do kind of mock themselves. It's like they mock themselves, but then they prove why it's back. They prove why 26 years later we needed another Battletoads game, because it's just so fantastic. Like it's certainly on a par with Streets of Rage, if not slightly more enjoyable due to the kind of the story and the animation, and there's just stupid bits in it that don't, like there's like a rock paper scissors section where they play something and you literally press the button to do like rock paper scissors, although it's not called rock paper scissors, it's called something stupid like that. Didn't need to be in there, but it is just because they can. And then there's like really complex levels where you've got these beat 'em up sections, you've got like sections where you have to like hack security. There's those like sections like Bioshock when you've got you're trying to hack the system and the fluids. It's got something similar to that where you change the direction of where this like little current goes. Mm-hmm. And, like that, they're just thrown in. And then on top of the fighting, you can traverse the level slightly differently. Like you use your tongue to get across platform, like go to platforms in the background, and you're fighting enemies there, and you can swing back over here. There's boss fights that can constantly mix it up and like. They're tricky, but they're not.
How long is this game around, Chris?
It's four acts. And you've got about... I think each one lasted around... I think it's about six...
I'd heard 3 to 4 hours.
But it depends on
that. I don't know. I heard that.
I went back and played... I'd say six.
You went back for capture and a lot of it, I know, so.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's, even if like, it's six, still, that's bloody long for a beat 'em up.
It's still, like, because it's, I think maybe because it is quite, like, if there's three difficulty settings as well. And I was playing on medium, and even medium is difficult. Like, there are certain things where if you're not, like, some enemies feel a bit overpowered. And, like, your health bars fall, and then you take an attack from someone, and they completely wipe you out. But
also, it's designed solely because for co-op, isn't it? And you,
yeah, you can't play co-op online at the minute.
Nah, that is,
it's local couch co-op. Yeah, it is a shame. But yeah. There are ways to, like, I kept forgetting that I could dash. Like, your dashing mechanic, like, as soon as you press it, you straight away. Like, there's no waiting around. So you use that quite a bit to get out of, like, long range attacks and stuff like that. And there are a lot of things to help you protect yourself.
Yeah,
you're just kind of getting used to them all, and they do throw a lot at you, but you never feel like, you never struggle with it. Like the three characters themselves, they're all kind of tropey in the fact that you've got one that's like balanced, you've got one that's a lot faster, and then you've got one that like that's the big boy, and he comes in and just pounds everyone. And they've all got different, like, you can utilize them differently with certain scenarios, like boss fights. It's like one of the first boss fights where I found this out was like, there's this big thing, this big alien floating in the background, and you have to use your tongue to pull out its eyeballs, and then you have to destroy the eyeballs, and then you do that with one of the lower powered characters, and it takes a lot longer. And when you've got a lot of other enemies on screen trying to fight, it kind of takes a while. But when you get this, I think his name's Pimple, the big guy, and it takes him off as long, and then you can switch back to one of the others. And this, just, it'd be amazing in co-op. Like, you, like my,
I thought I had a little
go, but it needs someone a bit more experienced in that kind of style. Yeah. Because it's quite tricky.
I played a bit in co-op with Chris Hyde. Basically, yeah. we used Parsec to basically have a remote desktop into my computer to play it, and it worked because we both got like high speed internet. You can still switch characters. Like, if there's a third character not being playable, you can still use the D-pad to switch to...
Oh, cool. It's a lot of Lego.
The one you're not. And I'll be honest with you, we played the first level in a bit, and he was sold enough to go and pre-download it on Xbox because he enjoyed it that much. Like, there's not... Again, I was talking about this to Mick Fraser, because he reviewed Mortal Shell. I think we spoke about that last week. And I feel like there's a lot of those games now. Whether you want to call them Souls-like or whatever, but like what I find there isn't a lot of is the kind of genre I feel they jumped off of, which is the Bayonettas, the Devil May Cries. And I've talked about this before. I feel like that genre has actually been replaced by the Souls-like genre. And I guess that people are more happy with that because it's like, well, it's got more. It's not just an action-adventure game. It's now an RPG. I love those games. They're my bag. You know, the Ninja Gaidens when they were good. You know, that sort of stuff. But I do feel like we don't get an awful lot of this genre. We don't get, Streets of Rage 4, Battletoads. There are some games that have been in and around
that. A lot of indie games that have come out that are quite
exactly that.
Like that, but nothing with a license, like proper license. Like, and you say just Streets of Rage and Battletoads have come out this year, but both of them have been fantastic.
Fantastic. And,
so
and
why not have more? Like, even if it's creating a brand new one and just spending a bit of time with it, to make, like, people want these games. People don't want story-driven games. And as good as The Last of Us 2 is, it drains you and it leaves you wanting
different
play
thing.
Some fun.
It's a totally different thing. Yeah. And I must admit, I'm looking forward to finishing Battletoads because I was really enjoying it. I think so far, I personally prefer Streets of Rage 4, but I think that's just because the emotional attachment to Streets of Rage is impossible for, like, Battletoads to compete with because I didn't like Battletoads. No.
Have you played the Turbo Tunnel bit?
Level 2?
Is that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's level, not level 2 proper, like after the mini games. I thought it was good. I didn't even think it was that hard. Like, I didn't think it was...
No, it wasn't.
I didn't die. I think I wiped out once. But it's because I was trying to... There's a bit in it where you can jump while you're on the hoverbikes. Bits where you sort of have to jump round obstacles. And I was sort of experimenting to try and get the collectibles. But if I'd just been playing it just to get through the level, I don't think I'd have died at all. I don't think it was...
Yeah. It's just amazing.
It's fun. It's fun. I tell you what, colourful. So colourful and lovely. And just like, again, I feel like we're talking about Tony Hawk's like kind of the antidote at the moment. Like, it's just...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And do you know what? Yeah, another game that's a Microsoft game that's probably going to get no credit. And then... Because, I don't know, I'm starting to wonder, this is a conversation for another podcast, but I am starting to wonder if the damage has been done with the brand, because it just doesn't, like, people just don't talk about these games. You know, like, there's people in the review, you know, as we record this, the review's barely been up a few hours. It was a daft embargo. Like, they were obviously worried about it because it was like a 1 a.m. embargo, so it was the second it was available, I'm guessing. And there's already people saying, oh, like, yeah, Microsoft, this, that, and the other. Oh, I can't believe you gave it this. It's like, you haven't played it.
Yeah, fuck off.
And for this game to be getting that suggests that there is already, like, an element of people who want this game to fail. And
it's Rare. Like, Rare have got a hand in it. Like,
but Rare, I think, have only got a hand in it as much as they created the characters. I don't know how much they developed.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But
there's definitely that attraction.
Oh, it's definitely got a Rare look to it.
Yeah. And it, oh, man. People it's just really good. Give it a go. Like, get before, on it. It's on Game Pass. Get on it.
Exactly
play
that.
It,
the reason I mentioned the Microsoft thing is I did want to just briefly touch upon Microsoft Flight Simulator, because I talked about it last week and I was very positive on it. Very positive on it. And I do want to just say that my just take that opinion and just flip it all the way around to how I feel about it now.
Oh no!
I don't understand why everyone is saying this game is like super accessible. I don't. They must have a different build of the game to me, I think. It looks gorgeous until you get up close to certain areas, but I'm not going to have a go at it for that because it's not very easy to map the entire world, is it? You know, I get that. That's fine. It's not accessible, and my concerns about this being on an Xbox, I think I'm not so sure now that this is going to be on an Xbox very... Because, like, you know, I'm playing on a controller... And then it comes up on screen, press G to raise your landing gear. And it's like, I don't have a G. Okay, fine, I'll press G on the keyboard. Now, if they haven't mapped it yet to full keyboard setup, full joystick setup, then they're going to have to do that. Although you can plug a key. My son plays Minecraft on Xbox mouse and keyboard. You know, you can plug that in. I don't know. Like, I just don't think the tutorials do as good a night. The first hour I played, based on my impressions last week, were positive. But the more I got into the tutorials, the more I just don't feel like... So, like, there was... The fail states were, like, it would just suddenly fade and start you again. I go, no, you weren't quite doing that right. Okay. What was I doing wrong? Because if you don't tell me what I was doing wrong...
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm supposed to make sure I don't do it again. You have to tell me exactly what I... And in plain English, you were doing this. Don't do that. Because if you don't, like I say, I'm going to do it again. It's going to reset you with a little fade to black and say, right, no. It's like, again, if you don't tell me, I can't know. And it seems to do that a lot. Like, and I get that it's for a certain person. I get that this is for people who are interested in flight sims, but being on Game Pass, I feel like more people will try it than normally would have. And I really want to like this. Really want to like this. But I feel like I'm rubbing up against it the wrong way. Because every time I think I'm making progress, I'll do something wrong. Like, I've played this and I got Chris Hyde to play it and Mick Fraser's playing it, and all three of us had problems with the controller in that it would drift to the right, okay? Now, I spent hours, I tried two different controllers, then I tried a third one, and all of them seemed to be drifting to the right. Is that intentional? Is that because of the wind? It didn't feel like it because it felt like I was fighting the plane's yoke. It felt like I was fighting it. And I'm just left in a really confused state as to what I'm doing wrong and how I make it not be wrong and enjoy the game as I was when I started it again.
Yeah, there's quite a few people saying that it's kind of a game nearly for everyone to try out. But, like, I've played a flight simulator way back in the day. It might have been 98 or something like that, and... Christ, I did not get what I was doing. I was just taking off and crashing, and off we go.
But you don't even crash in this, by the way. So I don't know if they've patched it, but beforehand, if you went to go crash, it would just fade to black. And then when Chris Hyde
would fade to black, is it?
It would just go like that, and sometimes it would say, oh, you damaged your landing gear. And it's like, yeah, no shit, I damaged my landing gear. I flew into a floor. And then when Chris Hyde was playing it, I said, when we finished what we were playing, I said, go on, just crash. And he went to crash, and he went straight down like that, and he just hit the floor. and then it started him driving through trees. And then he ended, and I was like, well, oh, God,
drive straight to
that building. And he drove into the building and nothing happened. So I don't know if
that was... Not to point out the obvious, but, like, is it just a situation where they're not going to put in, like, a very detailed crash?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't think people want to see that, maybe.
But you're telling
like...
me that no one playing this, there's not a huge proportion, a huge portion of people who are going to play this and go, I'm going to crash that plane.
Ah, you're going to try.
I'm going to crash
obviously,
into
yeah,
my mate,
but you know? I think, like... Like, for me, I got into SnowRunner, right, throughout the year. So these kind of games are definitely, like, I'm not a pro at them by any stretch, but, you know,
But you're not against them.
I'm not against them, and Flight Sim sounds so ambitious in terms of, like, the open world scope and all that jazz they've gone for. And I'm just intrigued by that. And, like, hearing the ease of access, let's say, if it... I hear that and I'm like, oh, that's even better again. But then I hear your issues and I am going to play it with a controller, which is probably out of, what is it, you can use keyboard.
You can use flight stick.
Yeah. I'm sure flight stick is probably going to be the best way to do it if you're super into that kind of thing. Controller is probably going to be the worst. And
I don't know, man. I played it on keyboard and mouse as well. And I actually think controller, if my... I can only assume it's a drift issue on all of my controllers. Right. And I mean, all of them. But I would actually say the keyboard, because on the... So you don't like hold the button to power the, to push the throttle in. You sort of you tap it and you can incrementally push it in, which is more accurate.
Mm.
But on the keyboard, you're like, so it's on the number pad. So it's like 4, 8, 6, 2 for pitching your plane. And I found that it would just, I would be okay. And then I'd make an adjustment. So the plane would be going, okay, I'd make an adjustment to go round. And then suddenly I would just lose control and be going like this, trying to correct it. And eventually I couldn't, and I would just go down and crash. And so that was on the keyboard as well.
Out of curiosity, though, like, does it actually, like, explain? Because I know shit about planes.
No.
Like, does
it
tell you what? Like, this is what this does, and like,
it suggests at the start it's going to, but it didn't. Like, it talks, it gives you terms and goes, and this is that. And at first, I was like, is she saying that word wrong? Oh no, that's a thing in flight simulators. Okay, in plane stuff, that's a okay. What's that? Like, I don't know. There's all these terms and terminology, and I just still don't know what any of them mean, and I don't know if I need to know. It's clearly it's very good one of those, but after the first sort of part of playing it, I've not gone that sort of cold on a game for a very long time. It really soured me. Like I don't think it does anywhere near enough to bring in new people, and I don't. It's technically very impressive.
I still really want to play it, though. Like,
no,
I just
and
think...
I would say, man, I want to like mind it more than I do. But
I want to go to Cork Airport and see what's going on.
But it won't be there. It won't be because they've
well, it's about this
modeled,
size. So
no, they've modelled certain places, but not others, and they've done like a approximation. So Bournemouth Airport, which is I suppose my nearest, it's the roads that go round it are right, but the airport, no. It doesn't seem right to me. And if you're not in an area that's been mapped because it's, I don't know, big enough, it's difficult. Like, I thought I found a sort of landmark for where I live, but then I was like, actually, none of these houses look right. You know, and there's someone that's like says...
But to be fair, though...
Yeah.
Not to... Are we discrediting... Like, are we being a bit too harsh there?
Yes,
that? Because,
we are.
Because, like,
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Scope, if they aren't kind of going for... Ah, that's kind of it, yeah.
And they could, like, as they progress, update them. Definitely. No, definitely, it's really... I'm not marking it down for that. That's not fair. Technically very impressive.
Yeah.
Very. But yeah. 95 gig, maybe it's not going to be 95 gig on my hard drive for much longer. Also, they did a really shitty thing of like saying you can preload this game. No, you can't. You preload the, you know, like how Destiny or something has like a, here's the game, but once you load it up, it starts installing the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 10 gig download, and then like the other 90 gig, you have to wait until you can boot the game. So you couldn't preload it. It was, you could download the launcher, and it takes so long to load, which again, what it's doing.
I really want to know about that drift, though. I want to see if that's an all-rounder thing.
I just don't understand it. Like, everyone I know who's played it has had some sort of issue with the planes drifting. I don't know if it's we've both got dodgy installs or if all of us have got dodgy controllers. It seems unlikely. I don't know. Chris, let's go back to you, though, for some sports talk.
Yes. Which one do you want to hear about?
Up well, to you played. Entirely, mate.
Okay, well, let's get UFC out of the way. That's not fair. Because I actually quite enjoyed it. But it's an improvement on 3. Adam Carroll, you'll know about this because you've mentioned it to me on the podcast before, where we're talking about like UFC 3 is the submissions and the ground grappler and how it was just a bit convoluted and a bit just like not overly complicated, but you have to know exactly what you're doing to be able to make the most out of that system. Well, they've kind of changed it in quite a big way. So if you want that experience, you've got grapple assist basically. And without grapple assist, it kind of is similar to the old games where you transition from your half guards to your submissions and all that kind of thing. With grapple assist, it's just you either want to get up out of a ground move, or you want to ground and pound, or you want to attempt a submission. And it's pretty straightforward to get in any one of those. And the actual bars, the gauges, you've got two different gauges for chokes and joint kind of submissions. I forget which one's which now, but like the circle's back, but it's a lot easier to kind of maneuver. So you've got that's just there. And then the other one is like a little half circle, semicircle like bar, and you press L2 and R2 to move it to the left or to the right. And you have to mirror your opponent whether you're trying to make them submit or trying to get out. But it's a lot more straightforward than it used to be. It's I feel more confident taking an opponent to the ground, whereas I was always more, I just want to strike. I just want to use my feet and my hands to destroy them.
That's the thing, Chris, I feel is like if you UFC had to decide, like if they want the game either to be like super technical, but like the mini kind of submission thing that they had going on was it just wasn't working great. So like it wasn't balancing out for what they were striving to try and achieve, which is kind of what led me to kind of think, should they just go down the kind of not arcadey route, but a bit more laid back and just let us just go in and just start punching and
absolutely
that kind of stuff, you know? So,
I mean, that's all. There's still the big sim experience in the overall matches. And, in terms of striking, like there's been some slight variations to how you perform a move, but there are a lot more arcadey kind of experiences. So they've got the knockout mode where you can just batter the shit out of each other without any submissions or any clinches or anything like that being in play. But they've added like this new mode new arena called the Kumite Arena. I don't know what it means, but it basically just think Mortal Kombat.
I can help there. It's Kumite.
Thank you.
Red Bull Kumite.
Oh, is it? Nice one. So there you go. So you've got...
Yeah, I believe it's Kumite. Yeah.
Right, cool. So the visuals and the sound effects, like there's a deep voice that kind of screams go, and like you've got very much a feel of like Mortal Kombat bled in with like Bloodsport, and you've got those modes. Backyard mode as well, where you're fighting and all people are like, sitting around in a circle like drinking beer and listening to music.
I was quite shocked when you sent that footage, and I was like, oh, I'd edited and read the review first, and I was like, sorry, there's what? And then when I saw the footage, I was like, yeah, it's like a fight you can get. It's weird, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool.
It is cool.
And I'll be honest, it's not enough to get me to want to go play the game, but
I mean, cool. Like the one thing I love about playing UFC is the career mode as well, because I like the fact that you take a created character from the very beginning to the very end, and there is always an end in sight. It's not continuous. You just keep playing over the years, and realistically, when 50 years has passed, you still looking as good as you do, then what's the point? And like with each, this is listed in the last one, so I'm not really saying anything new, but like when you have a fight and you don't train correctly, or you've not studied your opponent, you'll get beaten to shit. And then a substantial part of your overall career bar in the top right of your corner goes down, which means it's shortened your career quite drastically. So that's why it's so important to pay attention to the way they do the career mode. And like with each fight you accept, you can choose between 1 to 5 weeks to train. obviously, if you choose 1 week, you're not going to get any decent training in. You're going to go into that fight massively unprepared. You can now watch tapes of your opponent so you can see what their stats are, what style of fighting they are, like whether they're kickboxer, jiu-jitsu, they're boxer, wrestler, anything like that. And then you kind of get an idea of who you're fighting. There's a social media element, which is shit.
I'm telling you, man. The second I saw the fighting stuff you talked about, the Mortal Kombat style, I was like, oh. And then the second I read the social media stuff, I was like, I am.
Do you give each other shit or something, Alan? Is
this? I do not want in a game. It's social
media.
No,
I know. You do and you don't. Like, the thing is with UFC, like, it's always been relatively popular, but there's no denying that Conor McGregor brought that professional wrestling element to it with the character, like the kind of, he was a dickhead, but he could back it up. But like him and Nate Diaz, their famous feud, like the amount of shit that went off there. And even like when he threw that thing at the bus and he was fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov and all that.
Fucking attitude era all over again.
Yeah, it was. And like social media is kind of growing between UFC fighters and it is a part of it now. You see it all the time, whether it's like Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, who had a massive fight recently, chipping away at each other, or someone in the lightweight division, it doesn't matter. But you get the option to, like, sometimes you'll see a tweet, because it is a tweet, but they can't call it a tweet.
It'll what do come they call it? Do they call it something close
they don't
to
call
a tweet?
No, they don't call it anything. It's just like a social media message in the bottom of your corner. And then you can read it, and certain ones you can reply to, like, if you decline a fight, and the person who you're fighting, like, gives you some shit, you can then say, oh, like, fuck off. Well, you can't say fuck off, but you can be positive or negative, and that will impact your fighter relationship. And allegedly, it's supposed to create, like, rivalries.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really affect, like, I'm still picking fights with other people, and maybe down the line I might get a fight. And so, yeah, there is you can improve the hype of a fight by improving, like, by creating, like, this rivalry, but the fights are no different.
It'd be interesting, like, if they were able to have, like, a thing where you create the hype, you create the beef, and if you build it up to such a level of hype that when you fight, and if you win, you get that little extra bonus of whether it's, like, rep or money or whatever it is.
I mean, hype is like a form of that. So you earn money from fights, but you also can build the hype of a matchup to give you more kind of XP.
Yeah.
So it does work, but it doesn't work.
But it'd be handy if we could make the opponent that little bit more challenging.
Yeah,
more
it would be amazing. It, you know? Yeah, and it'd be nice if the commentary reflected that a bit better. Yeah. But like it kind of feels like it's in its infancy. Like it feels like, not they've rushed it because it's 2 years since the last one, but if they'd have just missed this one and waited for next gen and then took advantage of that and the power, and they could add more to it and build more out of this social media thing, but I'd rather just take away the social media and just have, like, in press conferences where, no, not UFC.
So they could have waited.
They could have waited. But the press conference is the best thing about, like, the UFC build-ups, because it's like boxing. When something kicks off in a press conference, it's all over the internet. It's all over TV. Like, more recently, George Masvidal had a little spat back, like, at one of his press conferences with Usman, and it was amazing. And that kind of just, it hypes because it doesn't normally happen. And there's certain people in the UFC who just go in, fight, and they talk with their fists and they show like they don't need to do all that. But on the other hand, everyone loves that kind of theatre element. So that would be cool. But the career, it feels very much the same. There are new things, like you can go and invite fighters to your training camp and learn new moves. And the way the training is done, it flows a lot better. It doesn't take as long. But it's still kind of the same, but like it's fine. Like there's new fighters. The whole Joshua Fury thing, I don't particularly care much for that. Mm. But it's a nice little pre-order if you want it. But it's fine. I enjoyed it, but I think that's only because I enjoy the series. Yeah. I don't think it does enough new stuff to kind of, because they've scrapped the UFC Ultimate Team, which was always pretty bland anyway. Mm. But it doesn't feel like they've really added much. There's like a cool multiplayer mode, like a blitz mode, where it's like a 64 player tournament and you're given like random, like the kind of rules might change every match. So some matches might go for just three rounds, or each round, there might just be 1 minute long round, and then you're given points based on that round. So there's stuff like that, and then you get eliminated and you carry on, which is kind of cool. But yeah,
not to shit on these, like, this, the sports games, not to do that. No, here, but like, have we just reached peak with these kind of games and like what they can bring in, like FIFA's and things that, like, you're going to talk about another one now in a second, which I do think probably may have improved upon, like, you know, but like, it sounds like UFC 4 is enjoyable, but you're like, as you said, you're a fan of the franchise.
But yeah, just for that reason,
like, it's just kind of like, it does things that you're not really interested in, like the social media.
Visuals don't feel any different,
and like, visuals are great.
There's one thing which I hate about it is the way, like, when you knock someone out, their body just crumple, like they don't, like, fall properly. So like, they don't fall with the momentum of a punch. Like, if you're punching someone like that, they're gonna like kind of fall back.
Yeah.
But you hit them and they just flop to the floor.
I know. Yeah.
And I want that realism. It doesn't feel like that. Yeah. But I think there are companies like 2K. Like, I know we're gonna talk about PGA Golf, but 2K, like their NBA series, there's so much in that game. Like, it's so packed with, like, not just modes, but like what they add to it, and they're very in tune with the content they provide. Like, they don't bring any new modes to it, but they bring in new challenges and new players to, like, the My Team, and they spend a lot of time building the game once it's out. And like, the gameplay is always the same, but they do a hell of a lot to make sure you keep coming playing back. And like, I played NBA 2K20, like, you know, like, I played it all year. I'm still playing it now. Like, I love that game, and I think 2K masters it at kind of after the game's release, kind of keeping up with current trends, and like they keep up with the NBA season, and they even during, like, when it was off, they kind of did a thing where they simulated the rest of the season, and depending on who got a higher, like, who played better in these simulations, they'd release cards that you could then unlock and for your team, and they're just constantly kind of sticking with the franchise. So there are ways UFC could, not EA as well, maybe not as good as 2K, but there are games that EA do that are good as well. But I just feel 2K are more ahead of the curve with it.
Are they masters at golf, Chris?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know how you feel, Adam. Well, I read your preview, so I know you kind of into it. But like, like, you're talking about games like Battletoads and that, where you know, it's just fun and you just want to like beat shit up and that. This is the most chilled out,
golf.
Awesome game.
Is it?
I love it, man.
Yeah, really? It's really relaxed.
And like, it is, because everything from like the silence and like just the commentary and the sun shining.
It's got, there's a real nice thwack to the ball.
The controls like are phenomenal. It's like, just, you've got
the controls are good.
To your, like, you're just hitting a ball, aren't you? But the way you can change the trajectory, the curve, like there's obviously different types of shots which you can play. You can play whatever shot you want. But the game, depending on whether you like the difficulty settings, it's not just easy, normal, hard. It's customize your difficulty settings. So you could take certain things off. So there's like a thing called a scout cam, which I use basically every shot, and it takes you to where the.
I think you probably would struggle. Play without, but I think
because you want to look exactly where, especially when you get nearer the green and there's like a wind speed, like that will take your ball off course. You get your scout cam, it takes your camera right over the ball, and it'll give you the grid of where it will land and like the way the ground is shaped underneath. And so you can kind of get an idea of where the ball will land so that you can play your shot exactly how you want to play it. And like, just the career trajectory as well, the way you play in your opening tournaments, and depending on how you do, you can go through to the official PGA Tour, and then you can have like rivalries in that. But the rivalries are done a bit better. It's not just like you're a twat on social media. You're playing against this person, and you can gain like additional bonuses for beating them. But it's just dead chilled out. And I like, there's not loads to it. Like, but you don't need loads to it.
See, my concern is that. So this is, it's a golf game. Like, that's, and I don't mean that negatively. It, you know, it's got the new modern swing where you use the left stick to swing your club as if you're swinging a real club. My concern of it is that the people behind it, HB Studios, they're the ones who made the golf club games, and they're reasonably popular. Started off, they were decent. Now they've got better at it. My concern is whether adding the PGA Tour license to that does elevate it, or if people will play it feeling like, oh, it's the golf club. Four, three, whatever it would be. I think it'd be three. Because like when I played the preview build, and even when I would say, like, I would capture footage using like Shadow Play, which is often what people use for the PC, it would even actually save it as the Golf Club 2020, which I found quite interesting. I haven't captured any of the full build on PC, so I can't say if that's been updated, because it could have just been. It's just a simple thing that it probably didn't seem important to change, and it isn't. It isn't important at all. I think the PGA Tour license does add quite a lot to it, because it gives it reminded me a little bit of how PES versus FIFA, and gameplay is king in sports games, depending on your preference, but those licenses matter.
Yeah,
they do matter. Like if NBA 2K didn't have the rights to any of those people, it would be a lesser game. You know, the days of, you know, Eric Cantinar, you know, they're gone. People expect, you know, the real names, the real teams, the real, and I know that's a shitty thing to say.
I don't think it is.
I think it adds, you know.
I think it, you're right. Because like in the, obviously in the first few tournaments, you're playing against completely random named people, aren't you? So like when I'm second in the rankings and Javier de Sousa is first, I'm like, all right, well, I've just got to beat that guy.
But
when you've got guys like Justin Thomas and you're challenging him for you feel like, right, I need to beat Justin Thomas. He's one of the world's best.
But just the commentary and the overall presentation, I think that the PGA Tour license has kind of added, for me, as having played the golf club games, not recently, I played the first one and I didn't play one since. For me, that does, it does elevate it. It does give it the feel of a more premium priced product, if that makes sense.
And the fact that 2K's name's on it as well, like the My Player, the kind of 2K thing, where you create your character in My Player, and then everything you do builds up their gear and their clubs and stuff.
Here's one for you, because again, I haven't played the retail build yet. I will. What I noticed about the preview build is there's a lot of customization and a lot of currency. It looks as though it uses a similar system to NBA, where you can, VC?
VC, yeah.
It looks like VC's present, which means you can, but it's not, it seemed to me like it was just cosmetics.
I think, yeah, there's no,
no performance.
You can't level up your skills.
No.
It's just pure items, and like, you earn a fair bit of currency playing the career. Yes.
By the way, I love that. Sorry, Chris, to cut across you, but I really love the in-match. Look, it appears like a little gold thing appears, like, hey, can you get to... Really, really clever.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Really well incentivized.
Yeah.
Like, so, Adam, it will bring up like a thing of like, you start the hole and it will come up with, you know, like bonus XP if you get onto the green in two shots. And it's like little things like that.
Little objectives,
quite little clever to add those little objectives.
Yeah, they just slide in. Don't bother the game. Just nice and, you know.
Just there. But like, it doesn't matter if you ignore it, really.
There is tons of customization. Obviously, you create your own character, make them look how you want. But the clothes and the clubs, everything from your hats to your shoes and your gloves or whatever, you can buy quite a lot. And not like some are relatively expensive, but you play enough rounds, like you'll get your currency, and then there are also certain items you can unlock solely whilst playing the career that you don't have to buy; they just unlock for you. And you're like, even in the opening few tournaments, you're getting like new hats and stuff, and like new. I decked myself in a really nice sweater, like a checkered cream, red and black sweater. No, I really like, oh, he's got the hat on. Sexy boy. But yeah, I really like
come
it,
back
man.
And say, and just for the record, this is not a sponsored... they did send, it's just here, that, and we will have a video on the... They sent a little press back through for the preview, which I never got around to doing, but it's, yeah. Sorry, Chris, carry on.
No, it's okay. But yeah, so it's fun to play. There's not loads of modes, but there's enough, more than enough. Especially when you say a course takes you anything from half an hour to 45 minutes to play through. And then you can create, like, if you're bothered about going online, there's like online societies where you can essentially create your own golf club and you can invite players.
So that stuff I couldn't check out in the preview build, and that stuff seemed super cool. Yeah. Really cool idea. I don't know if that's something they've taken from NBA or...
You can't really do that, no, because in NBA they don't really have it. I think it's just because sense. Golf has that kind of society where you've got everyone goes to a specific place and like you can create them up to like members of like hundreds, thousands, I think, that devs were saying. And you can like set difficulties for each. So if you want to let players in that will only play at like a harder difficulty than they can, or you don't even need to set settings, like each player that joins can just play on their own difficulty. But you can kind of band together and work together to get like stuff for your club. It's really cool. And the course creator as well, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like you can build stupidly hard courses or pretty courses. You can put an alligator in a desert.
Squirrels.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff. Like, so if you want to, and they can also be uploaded and people can play them. You can choose them to be played on your core, like in your society. There's a lot of integration. I mean, I don't know what kind of people play this game, because I don't know if kids like golf anymore. But like,
they never like golf, well, mate, kids.
No, I suppose. Crazy golf, maybe.
Well, I did when I was a kid.
But but no, it's just good fun.
You're enjoying
it? Yeah, I like it. I'm looking forward to play more.
Okay. Well, at the risk of putting Adam to sleep with more sport, do we want to get into listener correspondence or... Ad, you got anything you want to...
No, I have nothing right now. Okay. I'll have more stuff next week.
You will. Okay, right. Well, this is one from McPoo, who says, let's start with you, Adam. Which iconic PlayStation character do you think you could batter in a fight? Feel free to replace with a Nintendo character.
This is easy. The Butler and Tomb Raider.
Just sweep his legs out.
Lock him in a freezer.
Take the tree off him and bang him. There you go. Done.
Okay, that's simple. Chris?
I reckon I could batter
Kratos.
Kratos' son.
I think so.
Yeah, the start of the game.
He'd destroy you. Sorry,
No, not the start. When he doesn't know who he is, when he's kind of still like, who am I? What does the future hold for me?
Still fires a bow and arrow at you.
Yeah, but if he's not looking, I'll just toss him over the head with a rock. Done.
Yeah, but what if Kratos is there? What are you doing then?
He won't be. I'll make sure he's asleep. Like a real coward. Bang.
Right. I'm going to try and stick to more realistic.
That is realistic.
That is realistic.
If he's asleep and I smash him in the head with a rock, he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, there was no specifics about how I was going to do this.
Kill a child. You'd kill a child.
Like, he's killing a child. I'm killing an old man. What are you going for?
I reckon I could take Nathan Drake.
I know. Nah.
Not his brother.
I know. Nathan Come Drake. On, no. Be real here. Nathan
no
Drake.
Guns. No guns.
Yeah, but did you see the way he swings around the guy?
Hollywood fights.
How would you get on? Okay, so if you're fighting Nathan Drake and you're running after him, no guns and stuff, and he's doing his whole business of climbing everywhere and swinging on ropes.
Why is he doing that? No, then I won. If he's running away like a coward, I've won. I win. End off.
So do you mean... default. So you are telling me here that you could swing on a rope and do that whole...
Why am I swinging on a rope? And why am I doing that?
There's no guns.
This is the mano a mano fight. There's no traversal.
He'll find some sort of environment to do things.
He's cheated. The rules are that it's a fight. It's a great fight.
Yeah, and how big Ratchet is, like, compared to a human. Like, you probably just boot him.
Tiny. Yeah,
he's the shit out of him.
Oh, it's Sully. Fine, Sully.
Aunt May from Spider-Man.
Sully would have a fair
right
chance
at the end.
Maybe.
Yeah. Thanks, Ads.
No bother, mate.
This question comes in via email from Marshall, who says, with remakes and ports being so popular recently, do you think developers should add to or modify the original games? So this kind of goes back to the Tony Hawk's thing. You know, do you want just a re-up of that in a modern thing? And that's it? Or do
I
you want
to it depends on the game.
To it?
It depends on the game, because with Tony Hawk...
There can't be many left to do.
Tony Hawk's, I'm quite happy with it just to have the gameplay changed and... mash it all together modernize it. Like, there's certain games that I'd love. I'm not asked about going back to the originals, but like, if Metal Gear Solid, if one day in the future, I don't know how it would happen, but if a proper remake of Metal Gear Solid 1 happened, I'd be happy for life. Like, that would be incredible.
Would you be up for that, would you?
Absolutely.
I, I think about that weekly.
Only if I know it's Kojima, but only if he had a hand in it, and it won't happen. I don't think. I would like to see Konami do it, just because I just feel like he'd be able to just do it properly, do it justice, just tweaks here and there, and I wouldn't want anyone else messing with that franchise, to be honest.
See, the game I think of the most now is Final Fantasy VII Remake, because at the time of finishing that, I was so angry at how it ended. But the longer since... Like, I still have it as my desktop wallpaper, but the longer it goes from sort of then to now, the more I think, you know what, they're probably right to do that, because if you just... It felt like a faithful remake all the way through, but it wasn't really, because the combat was completely different. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, there were nods as you played it that things were different. Not like,
yeah,
not big ones where you're like, oh, how dare you? But there were just little ones where you're like, oh, that's interesting. Enough to make you actually, if you think about it, notice earlier on things were slightly different. And I'm sort of trying to talk around spoiling it because it's still,
you know. Yeah, yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more I think that original game still exists. And you can go and play that, especially Final Fantasy VII. I mean, it's literally available on PlayStation 4. So I think, why not do something to it to make it your... Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's kind of like Gears 4 and 5. If they hadn't added their own things to it, all they were really doing is remaking Gears with a different story. You know, they were adding their...
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the thing with Halo Infinite that a lot of people are now coming around on is that, yes, that looks like Halo 1, but Halo 1 exists, and, you know?
I think Final Fantasy VII Remake, though, it's one of those ones that there's so much that has changed in it that you're like, all right, you're either in or you're not. You either accept it or you just don't. Like, you know, that's just the way it is.
And I'm actually thinking of starting it again, like going to Drawing Hard or something, because it's really been in my head recently, like, God, that was so good. I was in love with that game.
Yeah, know? But I really don't like when a remake or HD, whatever you want to call it, comes out and they've left 90% of the game the exact same with just a bit of a coating, whatever, but then added something small, but it's just so annoying. Like, I can't even that, but sometimes developers will throw this new thing in, you're like, it just does not work. Like, that shouldn't be there. There was no need for it, you know? Things like that. I don't know. It's a hard call. You think about your loved games. You think about what would happen if, like I said, Metal Gear Solid, what would you want it to personally be like? And when I think of Metal Gear 1, like PlayStation anyway, it's just a visual. It's just a visual department. Maybe I'll accept, and the light.
No,
I don't want
right.
anything else changed in that game.
I played it about 3 or 4 years ago on the PSP, the original, and it's still amazing. Oh, like, still, control.
You might have said that about Final Fantasy VII.
No, oh, definitely. But like if they went off and like really changed the Metal Gear story, I just wouldn't be up for it.
And I wouldn't want them to do like use the controls from Metal Gear 5. I want it to be simple like the first one.
Yeah, it still has to have nearly all the same camera angles and. It needs to feel that way. It's just the coding. It's just the lighting and the graphics that I would ever want to change in that game, you know? Even though I still love how it looks.
Yeah.
So it's very tricky when it comes to games like that.
It is. And as you can probably hear, the drilling has begun in where I live again. So it seems like as good a time as any to say thank you for the questions. Thank you for the chat, Adam and Chris. You can catch us anywhere. Just type our brand name, God is a Gook. God is a Gook.
God is a Gook.
I finally done it. I finally pronounced it wrong. We've had God is a Greek. We've had God is a all sorts. But God is a Geek. Sorry, it's really loud and really distracting. I can't even think what I'm trying to say. So God is a Geek into Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Patreon, where we give this podcast early in both video and audio form. But
that's quite loud.
It's quite loud. It's literally like you see that. I mean, this is bad for the audio, but this wall here, there is a fence behind there that is literally where it is happening. So thank you.
Oh, it'd be so funny if it came through.
It really wouldn't be for me. It really wouldn't be funny for me. Chris, Adam, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And everyone else. See you next week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you whenever you choose to listen. I'm really... Bye.